Show you something beautiful tonight. I'm your host, Golden Hawk, and I am feeling fantastic tonight, and I am delighted that the enchanting Janine Kimmel is with us tonight as well. Welcome to the show, Janine. Hello?
Oh, sorry. I had you on mute. No, I was listening to the song. It was so great, and I had it on mute, so, you know, I could just...
Just listen,
but sorry.
No, that's okay. It's a beautiful song, isn't it?
It was really. And I don't know, the tempo is great, you know?
Yeah, I'm feeling it. I'm feeling it. And the way I look at that song, when I listen to that song, that is Mother Nature's message to us.
Mm-hmm.
She sees the beauty in us. She knows what's going on. There's no deceiving Mother Nature, and, you know, I just feel very, very connected with her. I'll definitely be speaking, you know, we'll both be speaking about that tonight, and, and that song is by Trombone Shorty, if anybody's interested. Mm. I just want to make a few announcements tonight. There's actually, you know, some things on the clipboard. I just want to take care of. The first thing is I want to welcome the newest follower to the Mystical Mother Earth Show, my beautiful friend, Allie. Hi, Allie.
Hi, Allie. Janine.
It's your family here telling you that we love you. God bless my punky. that is the first announcement. Okay, second announcement. The pictures on the episode page, if you watch this, whether you're watching, you're listening live, watch, or listening to the archives, are by Simon Varsi and David, okay, help me with the last name, Janine, David
Ceccarelli.
Ceccarelli.
The Italian man who co-created the book, my new book with me, The Yawning Rabbit River Chronicle. And he travels all over, going on walking trips and kick scooter trips, hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of miles, and takes these beautiful photographs.
Actually, what I'll do too is I'll put it in the episode for tonight's page, a link to his website.
Yeah.
It's extraordinary. The pictures, he photographs his whole journey, you know, every country and all the lands he goes to. And, you know, I'll be honest with you, the pictures are touching my soul, and it was really like, you know, the Mystical Mother Earth show, it just seemed so appropriate between Simon and David to post these pictures of the beautiful Earth we have, not just from the micro. I usually have the picture of the whole Earth. But this is, you know, photographs by photographers with, you know, a deep resonance with the Earth, and you can feel it. So, you know, I'm honored and delighted to share their work. So it's basically Iceland, Britain, and Norway where the pictures are taken. Okay, that's the second announcement. The third announcement is Richard Salva and me will be doing an interview tomorrow, 3 p.m. Eastern Time. And Richard wrote a book, The Reincarnation of Lincoln, which is, he actually, you know, contacted me and said, you know, can we do a show? Because he's kind of connecting it with the whole Steven Spielberg Lincoln release. But Richard, when Richard speaks about all this stuff, Richard's spiritual knowledge is very deep. He very much does yoga and the practices of going within. He's walking his talk. He's an amazing guest. I'm really looking forward to speaking with him again. We're definitely kindred spirits, and I haven't interviewed him since 2008. So it's part of my series of the Blast from the Past, Goldie's Blast from the Past. So I'm really looking forward to talking about Lincoln, but I'm really looking forward to talking with Richard. So tune in. You can tune in live, or, of course, it'll be archived. You know, either way, it's perfect. Okay, that's my third. I don't know. That's another announcement. Another announcement is Janine has an amazing librarian review from the Yawning Rabbit River Chronicle, which we'd love to hear. I haven't heard it yet, so
thanks.
I'm going to be hearing it. Yeah, first time with everybody.
For the first time. Yeah, I just got it today. But before I do that, I just wanted to say that I can just hear the great horned owls outside the house. And every time, you know, they're not out there all the time. So when I do hear them, there's something so calming about that to me. Just hearing the owls, I mean, they always just seem to comfort me. So I love.
Nice.
I just started hearing them as you were talking. But So today, you know, it's so amazing when, like, the unexpected out of nowhere comes a review of my new book, and it was, I didn't even know that I was going to, you know, that these people were looking at my book, but my publicist, probably in August, sent these people the book, and now it shows up. And so the publication, the magazine, is called Voya, and it's the voice of youth advocates. It's a highly respected magazine, leading librarian journal dedicated to the needs of young adult readers, the advocacy of young adults, and the promotion of young adult literature and reading. So it's a highly respected, you know, periodical. And it's come. So this review of my book is coming out in December. So I got notification. So I'll read it, because I was really taken by it. So it says, Yawning Rabbit River Chronicle. Okay. This magnificent three-part tale opens in a once idyllic forest where the creatures fear for their survival amid a drought so long-standing that none can recall ever seeing a river and the dangers of hungry hunters. So desperate are they that a lightning-fast jackrabbit thief undertakes a quest to find the mythological river goddess Violet and race her for the river. As he departs, the forest librarian Al reads Violet's story aloud from a very special book. Part two occurs many years later on the estate of an absurdly conspicuous consumer, Mr. and Mrs. Miller, the latter of whom hates rain and nature sounds. Their children are twins purchased at a bargain price. The loud, aggressive Ash, deemed boyish by parents who discount the sensitive, thoughtful Dusty. A mishap with the past makes Ash evil and infects the Miller house with soul crawlers, parasites of hate that thrive where evil lurked. 20 years later, in the adjoining township, Part 3 brings 13-year-old Nub Begley, a farmer boy, and female classmate Neil Turner. Their adventures complete the complex tapestry of this rich tale. In this heartwarming tale, good triumphs over evil, danger threatens every good soul, and history is contained within the pages of an important book that appears throughout. This story will make lifelong readers of youth not previously committed to reading. Middle schools and public libraries will want multiple copies. Doting adults will do well to gift copies to beloved youth. Adults who take the time to explore these pages will be reminded of the important titles of their youth, the ones that originally hooked them on reading. Isn't that wonderful?
Oh, my. Ready? This is what I think about that.
Ready! Thank you.
I don't even want to stop it. It's going to stop on its own. That was awesome.
Wait, and there's a little more.
Oh, there's a little more.
So all these reviews have codes next to them, so librarians know what the reviewer who is a librarian rated these books.
Okay.
So my book has this code that says 5Q5P. And 5Q means that it couldn't be better written.
Wow.
And 5P means it's so good that you wished you had read it yesterday.
Wow! That's phenomenal.
I know. I have a real soft spot and appreciation for librarians because they truly are an author's, you know, best friend. And They really do value books like no other person because this is their livelihood.
Job, of course.
Yeah, and so bringing literature to a young reader is what they do. And so for my book to be so well respected and spoken of by a librarian, you know, I have to say I was thrilled. Now, another little, it's so funny because I pulled into the parking lot of a grocery store called Trader Joe's. But
okay, they're around. I believe they're nationwide.
Right,
I believe.
Right.
So, anyways.
So I looked at this review on my phone, and I was like, "Wow, that's a beautiful gift."
Oh,
and
yeah.
But I also, besides Trader Joe's, next door, I have to say, is a place that my son and his girlfriend, Zach and Poppy, highly recommended, which was the Bird Jungle. And it's a store where, so I said, I'm going in today. And I just, so you go in, and there is a hint of sadness and melancholy for me, but there are the most beautiful birds just standing there. And like, you know, these parrots. And they said to me, Mom, you have to go. There's these little parrots with these black hats on. They're like black capped. They're called the clowns of the forest. And they literally, when you go by, they hop on you. And they like, oh my God, it was so incredible. And there was something about the birds, and this was before I got the review, but I just needed to be near them. they're just so beautiful. And
right on,
like
right on.
You know, and like I said to Zach later, because he called me about something else, and I said, so I went to the bird jungle. He goes, when? Today? By yourself? I go, yes. And I saw the little comics of the jungle, and it was, they're amazing. And he's like, but they are. And it was just, I just needed to be near them. You know,
Nice.
Yeah.
You don't have to tell me, you know, right on.
Right. So, you know, but the
danger
is,
I think it's awesome
is,
that you listened, that, you know, the gifts can only be accepted when we show up. I mean, we got to show
it.
Up.
That's it. But I'll tell you what, the danger is, I wanted to take them all.
Well, I'll tell you, I definitely feel a bird is in my future when, you know, I'm gonna I respect Dakini. Cause,
I
you
think
know,
it might be more than one, I think.
Yeah, well, I agree with that as well. I you know, I've never done, you know, the birds, and I want the big birds. You know, I want the cockatiel or
they were there, and these black-capped parrots. They're big. I mean, you know, bigger.
Right on.
Yeah. But they're smaller than the big guys. You know, than the big macaws and all that. But
right.
They were all there too, and they just stand there and watch you, and everything's available. Like, you can walk right up to them, and, you know, they're none of them are aggressive. I mean, I have no problem with the parrot, like, you know, they take your finger in their mouth, and they have the greatest
they
have the greatest weird tongue, you know.
And
it's just so, I don't know, it was like, I gotta be near the birds. I mean, and
there's a magic in the air today. There is. There
yeah, and you know,
it,
right, and just getting this review, you know, confirming this book that I worked hard on, but I gave it everything I had and more, you know, and then getting these from such a prestigious company, and then just on another note, there was a wonderful seventh grader yesterday in Atlanta.
Do you have it up? If not, I'll bring it up.
Do you have that interview up?
Okay. I'll grab it.
Okay.
Yeah, thanks. It was awesome.
Oh, you can grab it?
Yeah, it's on my wall too. So.
Okay. And, the seventh grader, librarians, asked young readers to review certain books. And my book, fortunately for me, was in the group. And so this young seventh grader boy wrote another review, and that was yesterday. So I have to say that, you know, it feels really gratifying and nice. And what's really, I've noticed about myself, it's not like I go into an inflation, but there's something calming and centering about the kind of confirming what I already knew about the book, you know, for it to be appreciated by that audience.
Yeah,
so
right
on. Did you bring it up?
I'm here. Yeah, you ready?
Yeah.
Okay. The Yawning Rabbit River Chronicle by Janine Leighton Kimmel, Springtree Press, ages 10 to 14, 1799. The animals living in the forest call for an emergency meeting because of a water shortage. Sean the jackrabbit has a plan to race Violet, the river goddess, so that when he wins, the river will come to the forest. This book is truly amazing. The author described the characters and creatures so well and made it easy for readers to follow the story every step of the way. There's always something exciting going on. I recommend this book for older kids, for there is some mild violence. Jacob Solomon, seventh grade.
Thank you,
yay, Jacob.
Yay.
Yeah, I posted that. I thought that was like, I was like, homeboy got the book.
Yeah. He was great. He got it, you know. So
definitely.
So yeah, the Yawning Rabbit River. Thanks, Goldie, for reading that. And
of course.
So I'm feeling it too today. Just for me, it's like a steady, assurance. Of everything that's coming together. I just feel.
I agree. I agree. No, absolutely. You know, because I'm really stoked because the way my, you know, like today, you know, the listeners know, okay, you know, we do the show really, you know, live and in the moment, whatever's happening the day of the show. And of course, you know, and we talk about our week's experiences. And, you know, I'm finding it very interesting. There was challenges for me this week. And if I'm correct, and I believe I am, there were challenges for everybody this week. because there was some solar, we had the solar eclipse, and today actually we're getting hit with a solar wind or solar flare that, you know, blasted off the sun, I don't know, a couple of days ago, and they were like, it'll hit Monday. And I'm finding it really interesting because I guess the best way to describe it is the experiences that I'm having are just more and more clearly showing me if I do the inner work, the frequency that's coming in that I can witness other people literally losing their marbles over and losing their minds over, but I'm personally experiencing it as the support to my expansion. But and it's interesting because support to my expansion, but it's also supporting my compression, because the inner work is really, at least from my perspective, you know, integrating anything that comes up that's painful, which is definitely being highlighted right now. You know, the energy does, it's almost like the energy might highlight the compression, but it also, by not resisting it, by following it, by dancing with it, I'm having personal experiences that are deeper in awareness than I've never been at this level of awareness ever. And I really would say that I'm at the level of awareness where my sensitivity is equal to animals. You know, I have a field of awareness around me wherever I am. Now, I'm definitely more comfortable in my field of awareness in the forest. But I was noticing, you know, like when we came to your book signing, being in the city, I could definitely feel 360 degrees around me. You know, I knew, you know, and I had Alana with me, and you know, so I'm conscious of, you know, just people, you know, and there's a lot of people in New York City.
Yes, sure.
But I really, the reason why I say it is because it's becoming so poignant and so astute. My awareness is becoming astute that, well, I gotta share the story, the hawk story.
What a great one.
The initiation. Okay,
yeah.
I guess it was Thursday. I think it was Thursday. It was either Thursday or Friday. No, I had to work on Friday. It was Thursday. I went to the woods on Wednesday, and I had to work. And so I was sitting at this tree that I've sat at before, a huge pine tree. But I had to leave early to go to work. So Thursday, I didn't have to work at all, and I was like, you know what? There's more for me at this tree. I just intuitively knew I'm going to go back to that tree today, and it's great because I can stay as long as I want. So when I first get to the woods where I park, there's this little open area that they actually cemented down for people to park, and there was like three giant yellow or orange trucks that, you know, the electrical trucks that, you know, take care of the huge trees and the huge lines. And, you know, they were basically in the area doing Sandy work, doing the work from the storm Sandy. And so I rolled down my window and I go, you know, oh, hey, guys, you know, this guy was just standing there. I was like, you know, I kind of knew intuitively and, you know, just, you know, it doesn't take a brain surgeon to figure out. They're obviously not clearing out the trees from the forest. You know, they're just parking here because they're working on the road. So I was like, you know, I kind of want to get in there. You know, do you have a recommendation where I should park? And the guy holds up his finger. He goes, oh, stay right there. Hold it. The next thing I know, one of these huge monster trucks is pulling out of the parking space where I park in. And I was like, wow. And I went, you know, you didn't have to do that. And he goes, no, no, it's time for lunch. He's going to get lunch anyways, no problem. So I pull in, and, you know, as I'm getting out, and, you know, I've got a little, you know, I've kind of got like a routine that I do where, you know, I get my backpack on and my water thing, and I make sure there's water in the bottle. You know, it's a routine that I do. This other guy jumps out of the out of one of the trucks, and he's reading, you know, my magnet about the show, and, you know, he's asking me, you know, you go into the forest often? And I was like, oh, yeah, you know, this is where I go. This is my decompression space. And he goes to me, you know, we saw a bald eagle here today. We saw a bald eagle in the sky. And I went, wow. You know, I was like, that's really auspicious. And his eyes went a little crossword when I said that. And he goes, huh? And I was like, that's a really good omen. So I kind of got, don't go too deep with this Goldie. Just keep this light. You know, he was just friendly and nice, but, you know, keep it light. And I did. And it was a wonderful, wonderful experience, you know, with talking with him. So then I go into the woods and I go to my tree, the tree that I just felt intuitively I should be at. First thing I do is find 25 red-tailed hawk feathers at the base of it. And, you know, it wasn't like they were just planted there and said, here. I mean, it was like I had to kind of move the leaves around because I saw one. And then as I moved the dead leaves, they just kept showing up. And I was like, wow. I mean, immediately at that point, it was like in my head, I went, check, you're exactly where you're supposed to be. Yeah. And I was happy with that. I figured, okay, that's it. That's my gift for the day, the confirmation I'm supposed to be here. So like 20 minutes later, I look up, and this bird is circling the area, but particularly the pine tree that I'm at the base of. And when I look, it's a huge golden hawk. It's not a golden eagle, and I'm wondering if it's actually the bird they thought was the bald eagle. I don't know. I mean, I figured most people know what a bald eagle looks like. But she was definitely, she was a huge golden hawk. And I was like, wow. Then she perches on the tree that I'm at the bottom of. And I'm like, okay, check two. Clearly, I'm where I'm supposed to be. I mean, and she would fly like over the reservoir, and then she'd come back and perch on the tree. She did that like twice. And, you know, I was watching my mind go rampant, you know, like, well, what's the message? What's the message? And then I kind of heard the other voice in me go, oh, shut up and just enjoy it. You know, don't think about this, Goldie. Just be here. Just be here. And I'm telling you, from my truth depths of my being, I really understood what I meant when I said that to myself. And I just took a few deep breaths, and I leaned over on one elbow, and I just watched her. Mm. And then all of a sudden, like 10 minutes later, or however many minutes, she dive bombs, literally right in front of me for a fish. And the process of her getting the fish, it wasn't like she scooped and she didn't come down, scoop and go. She was actually like struggling with this thing. I wasn't even sure if it was a duck. I figured it might have been a duck because it felt like she was holding it underwater. But I really got when I thought that after a while, I went, you know what, the duck sensed her presence and would not have just been casually fished. When she's fishing, they're not.
Yeah.
Because they would know. You know, this is when the intuition and the awareness was coming into me, watching her do this. So it took her about, you know, I don't know, 30 seconds to a minute, which, you know, when I tell this story to the kids, they go, oh, that's not very long. And I'm like, hold your breath.
Yeah, it is long.
Yeah. Well, it's long in certain things. It's, you know, it's not long when you're having a great time, but it was just this moment that was playing out before me of the absolute grandeur of this, you know, the golden hawk, you know, red-tailed hawk. I'm a fan of all hawks, but the golden hawk, of course, you know, has a real significance for me. And I was in awe. I was in awe. I really did. My mind turned off. I became just I was like the tree or the squirrel. I was very conscious that for this to happen in front of me, the wisdom that I really got after sitting with it was, I'm a part of the forest. You know, they, for her to be at the tree at the top, it's no longer when I'm at the forest, there's a human here. Mm-hmm. You know, I really got the sense it was just another being that is a part of the forest is here. And then as I was walking back up to the car, there were these other birds that were actually kind of, they were in this down tree, and they, little chickadees and little sparrows and stuff, and it, the way they were flying back and forth, right, you know, very close to me. They, again, I really got the message, you're home. You're not a visitor here. You're home. And then, of course, I had taken the feathers, the 25 feathers. I had picked up some pine cones. I went home, did a piece of initiation art because I really, it felt to me significant. It was a significant moment, and it felt like an initiation, like Mother Earth was initiating me. And the interesting thing about it, of course, is I had been writing on Facebook lately, you know, really emphasizing that I, the, for me, valuable things aren't, you know, Gucci handbags and diamonds and, you know, Melonic shoes or whatever, I don't even know their name. You know, designer stuff or fancy cars. That is, I don't seek those things of value. For me, value is the connection I have with Earth. I mean, and all of life. I mean, life itself. Because it's not just Earth. It's also life itself. And life also is about not on Earth. You know, our sun is clearly life, you know, enhancing. And, you know, I'm realizing that I'm connecting with that too. But it was really just a poignant that I'm not a visitor in the forest. You know, I'm at home. And the other significant thing was, and the forest is home in me. That also became very like, I don't have to go to the forest. I mean, I can literally, I can quantum jump to the forest. I mean, I'm so well versed in the energy of the forest and the places that I have, you know, my body and my energy, as well as my menstrual blood, all of it's been mixed in these spaces. You know, my DNA is working in those spaces. And, you know, it's almost, because it was an interesting thing that I got. This week my car broke down, which was, the timing of this was so interesting because, so all the car broke down the day Mother Earth initiated me. You know, it's almost like, okay, now sit with this. And, you know, thank goodness my boss lent me her car. So, you know, I got to do all my nanny gigs this weekend. But it was interesting because I integrated this experience at my house. I didn't come to Scott's. And there was also the energy of the solar flare, which I knew I was integrating that as well. This is what I mean by, you know, I'm doing the work of the compression, which was the solar flare definitely was bringing stuff up for me. Just some anxiety stuff. Well, that's interesting. It's really not anxiety. You know, I can't emphasize enough that once there's a total acceptance of what we need to do, I mean, I really do have total acceptance that for me to ascend, my goal is to integrate the pieces of me that, you know, what I was saying, you know, a couple of weeks ago, the pieces of me that now are experiencing the effect from my creations. I came into this experience creating, and I affected things. And now, in order to graduate from this universe, I am taking the pieces back of what it was like to experience my creations, you know, from the perspective of, you know, potentially the toes I stepped on, the forest I cut, you know, the people I killed, whatever I did coming down.
Yeah.
The ascension is about taking those pieces back that are, well, what were the effects of my creation? So it really comes down to, so was I a creator that was kind, or was I a creator that was just, you know, bullheaded and egotistical and sat on a throne and told everybody what to do. And I'll tell you, I got both in me. I do. And I know that because I'm feeling what I'm integrating and what's coming home to me. But
yeah.
The truth is, knowing this stuff, knowing that it's me, knowing that the first time in my life, I mean, I can tell you the changes of levels of awareness that I'm experiencing are those are the nuggets, the jewels, the valuable experiences that are truly showing me what I'm doing is working. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, and I'll tell you, not having a car after Janine didn't have electricity for 11 days, you know, I'll be damned, I'm going to be, you know, a baby and bitch about it. That, you know, you can't be inspired when your best friend goes 11 days without electricity and then you lose your car. But I'll tell you, not having the car and truly not being able to go to the forest when I wanted to, I also, the YMCA's whirlpool has been broken down for over, today's 7 days. It broke down last Monday. So I haven't been doing the whirlpool. I wasn't coming over Scott's. You know, it was like I spent a lot of time in solitude. Well, my Dakini was with me, but solitude and really the best way I was dropping in to this new what I call it's a new standard for myself. I can feel it. It's and with this new standard comes new abilities, new perceptions, you know, and I laugh because I love becoming aware. There's no doubt about it. This is what I am all about, the awareness. Bring on, I want to know what's happening from the perspective of it's the truth. And as George Kavassalis says, what's the truth? It's what's happening.
Yeah.
I want to know what's happening. But it is really ironic that at this level of the game, the more awareness you get, the more you're aware that the deceptions and the, you know, the downright lying and, you know, and misinformation and disinformation, and it's all so rampant. And but it's funny because I don't have a judgment on it because it's really not about, I'm not tied into seeing the truth and being pissed off that they're lying. I'm really tied into, holy shit, I can see that they're lying. Like, for me, that I just wanted to have the ability to be able to see the truth. And, you know, I've spoken about this, and it bears repeating. If you can, when we are willing to seek the truth in ourselves,
mm-hmm.
and I'm telling you, boy, there's a lot of lying going on within myself that I am, that's part of the integration is owning the darkness, owning who I am, owning that, you know, I've done negative things to negative people and, you know, owning all of it, owning that there's reptilians controlling us and owning that our government is, you know, truly not out for the best of us. And shit, we don't even have to go as far as government. I can promise you, I bet you every single one of you listening to the show tonight knows somebody in your family that wants for themselves and will take from you to get it. I mean, because these are really universal experiences. We are all going through them. Now, we all have different stories and our own unique kind of signature on the experience. But, like, a really good friend of mine asked me to read his manuscript, and it's brilliant. It's a brilliant manuscript. I can't wait till it gets published because we'll definitely do a show on it. And he asked me for my opinion, and I was reading the manuscript, and to be honest, he was only sharing the lighter side of his spiritual connection with Mother Nature and Earth and life. I went, well, where's the pain? Because, you know, the truth is, because I know it's there. You know, none of us. How about we say it this way? The beauty of the pain is it brings us to the place where the only place to go is within. And when we get to that place, we really will, I mean, I'm talking from a genuine cellular space. we will be grateful for the pain because inside is where all the magic is. I mean, and we haven't even, we are only just beginning to tap into this magic. And the magic is so, you know, like I had an experience today where I realized, not today actually, but this week, that, you know, science is a dogma. And I'm starting to grasp that. And I definitely want to talk about Carl Jung too, babe.
Okay, yeah.
Science is a dogma in that, you know, our scientists call this place that we thrive on and that we're killing, but we're really not. But science calls our planet a planet. And, you know, it struck me that this isn't a planet. Earth is not a planet. Earth is a star. And I get it. You know, George Cavazos, he'll say, you know, we're birthing, you know, this planet's going to birth a star. But in my humble opinion, that's incorrect. It's not a planet. It is a star that has been, it's the gestation space. Mother Earth literally, I'm so clearly knowing that we are what's in her womb. And the womb is the outside encasing of this planet. You know, the water and the land, all of that is about what's going on inside. And you know, it's like the shell of the egg. And I can totally feel myself going, you know, it's like I can picture what the chick must feel like when it's like, you know, the compression where there's, you know, you're getting too big for the space. You know, I guess the same thing what a human baby would feel, what any baby would feel when you're just getting too big to be where we are. And it's weird because, you know, I'm looking, if you could see me now, I'm putting my elbows up like, yeah, you know, it's getting tight in here. But the thing is, it's the internal me that feels it's getting tight. It's, you know, I mean, there's plenty of room and air over my head right now. And when I'm in the forest, there's plenty of room and air over my head and throughout my body. You know, I mean, you know, on the outside. Because, see, it's not the outside. It's about what's going on inside Earth. And inside Earth, there's a sun. And when we're ready as well as when she's ready, because we're all connected, it's the intelligence of life itself. In other words, we don't have to dial Mother Earth. Okay, are you ready? You know, it's like, you know, ask anybody, any woman who's had a child. You'll know, you know. And in my humble opinion, we're already in the birth canal. I mean, this birthing process has started. Contractions have started, and we are moving through the birth canal. And in my humble opinion, you know, in the next few months, you know, the changes that come from the birthing of this new human race is going to be, you know, just truly, well, just beyond our wildest imaginations, beyond our, this is the greatest of, you know, well, isn't there a Chinese proverb that says, may you live, you know, may you all live in interesting times or something like that?
Probably. I don't recall it, but yeah, I'm sure.
Like, yeah.
I don't recall it, yeah.
Yeah, well, I mean, it basically says, you know, we are living in interesting times. We're giving birth to a new humanity. And I'll tell you, I have, you know, I have my little timeline, you know, mapped out because I've been, did you watch that thing from Okta, Janine? That Mayan guy?
I didn't. Yeah,
okay,
I don't
no
know.
Worries.
Yeah, I don't know where why I spaced out on that one, but
okay, no worries.
Yeah.
No worries. Well, and I'll just briefly say it's basically a Mayan guy, and it is not Don Alejandro, who is like he's the Mayan who is like the council of the 400 tribes of Mayan. This is some gentleman named Okta. I'm not sure where, you know, he's Mayan. I'm not sure where he comes from. The reason why I'm stating this is I believe what he's sharing is part of the artificial timeline and the technology timeline. Because he's saying it's going around Facebook too, this video. He's basically saying on December 21st, sometime in the afternoon, beam of light is going to be focused on our planet, basically between Mexico and Guatemala.
Uh-huh.
It's going to hit certain pyramids, and by hitting the pyramids, the pyramids are going to be activated or like generators of some kind, and for about 8 minutes, everybody on the planet is going to have a Christ conscious experience simultaneously.
Mm-hmm.
Now, for those of you who have been listening to my show, you know, for the 6 years that I've been doing a show, Benjamin Krem and the Maitreya work, this is very similar to Benjamin Krem when Maitreya said the Day of Declaration, which was essentially the exact same thing, that Maitreya would overshadow every human being on the planet who's over 14, and that there would be a Christ-conscious experience simultaneously. And you can look all this stuff up. Share International is Benjamin Krem's website. And this Octu guy, the Mayan guy, I guess I would look for him on YouTube. If you put, like, Mayan December 21st, you'll inevitably find – I'm sure you might find tons of videos on that from that search, but it'll be there. And so the way he described the stuff that he was describing, they were talking about kind of like people manipulating the energy coming onto the planet. And I didn't get the sense, I only listened to it once, and I didn't get the sense that this beam of light is coming from a spaceship. I got the sense that the way he described it, the beam of light was something organic, that, you know, there's just going to be a beam of light. But the more I think about it, you know, there's really nothing organic about a beam of light hitting just a certain point of the planet. I don't know where that would, Mayan Cruz. No, okay. Somebody posted something. I'm not sure what it's about. Anyways, Enlighten, are you advertising in my chat room?
No, I want to see what that is.
She's advertising for Psychics Wanted. Okay, well, whatever. So I wanted to share that with everybody, because here's what I got after I watched the video, though. And this is important to the listeners. Okay. If the entire planet is indeed going to have a day of declaration, we are all going to experience something of a spiritual experience simultaneously. In my humble opinion, it's not about avoiding it. So don't try. You're on the planet. It'll be a frequency. You're going to experience it. What I'm going to do, though, is, to be quite honest, see, I look at this and go, I was talking to Janine and Dennis about this, and I feel that this will be the point where, okay, phase to act two. If we look at life, you know, from acts of a play, like four acts of a play, act one is the problem. If it was problem, reaction, solution, okay, we'll do three acts. The first part of the play is the problem. So the problem being, you know, we're basically, you know, killing ourselves, killing the planet. We're, you know, the reptilian are running the show, and, you know, we have the sense where we've lost power, and we have a sense where it's really dark on the planet. That's the average person. It's really dark on the planet. After this day of declaration, or this 8 minutes of Christ consciousness, according to the Mayan, you know, I truly believe that they're going to start coming in with, you know, the whole idea of the free energy will come in after that. The energy, the chambers that will heal us, they'll come in after that. The galactics who are going to make, you know, take the oil from the oil spills and, you know, drop some sort of little bug in the water that will eat the oil and make it all less harmful. You know, all the stuff that basically has been around this whole time. But now it's going to serve their purpose, because what they're going to do after we've all had this Christ conscious experience is they're going to manipulate the shit out of all of us, saying that, okay, listen, we've got to get together and heal the world. And, of course, we do have to get together and heal the world. But the key that I want to emphasize, you know, and I feel like I'm like, I'm the tattletaler. I'm the tattletaler because I overheard it. You know, be very clear, the manipulation and deception has not ended just because the things that's coming in now feel beneficial to the planet. And it's very naive to believe that it's ended because beneficial has come to the planet. And the ones who will know this best are the ones that are on the organic timeline. Again, it's not that, of course, you know, I'm going to play. I am definitely going to play with, you know, whatever, you know, wonderful new energies and technologies come out, even though, well, I shouldn't say technology. I'm not going in any chambers or anything like that. I'll stick with the forest. Thank you very much. I guess, see, it's hard for me to explain. I can't really say how I'm going to do this until the time comes that it happens. But I'll be super happy because if we go into Act 2 after December 21st, I'm going to be stupid excited because we're never going to get to the point of Act 3, which is the birthing of this. Of all of us, until we get to the next act, which is full disclosure, you know. And I, you know, I laugh because I'm a patient person, but boy, when it comes to this, again, it's interesting. I've been basically aware that we had to go through a very dark time, and it's very clear to me we're in that dark time. Mm-hmm. And because I was aware we had to go through it, I'm not afraid of being in the dark time. But I'm clearly, it's dark, it's painful, I get that. I'm also looking forward to, you know, the artificial light time, because that time is coming too. And I say it because we should all be aware, artificial light is not the same as organic light. And, mm-hmm. you know, okay, I've been talking too long. Share what you're giggling about.
No, don't have it, I'm enjoying it.
Okay.
Well, no, I mean, first of all, just going back to the hawk story, because you told me about that, and, you know, what caught my attention, besides the fact that the story was amazing, that you, you know, and I almost thought I didn't hear you correctly, but I did, when you said, I was initiated, and I, you know, then I realized, oh, there was an initiation art that just showed up, which... You know, it is such a clear indication to me that that was a natural, right on time, not at all artificial, actually. And so what I know about initiation art from my own, you know, experience is that the initiation has already occurred. When the initiation happened, like you were well already had discovered the home within yourself before you were initiated. And so, you know, then it strikes me as like the hawk coming in and catching the fish. And yeah, there was a little bit of a, not a struggle, but, you know, I mean, doing what she does, you know, to me, that was you, really being able to observe yourself. And the fact that you got that, then it's no surprise to me that your awareness of truth is much more on, and your ability to, you know, kind of be aware of perfect timing as opposed to off. And because when, you know, I said, well, what's the title of your initiation? And you said, did you say coming home or?
Being home, right,
being home.
Yeah.
So to me, that was like so significant because, that, you know, I said, Goldie, I know this is corny, but home is where the heart is. And the fact that you came into your home, which is you, really,
right.
To me, is when someone can really assess a situation, you know, and know, as opposed to, you know, being taken by an extravaganza of you know, I don't know, of a beaming light, because that does sound a little bit, you know, unnatural to me, that there would just be
me
a
too.
Beam of light.
Me too.
So, yeah, and yeah, so I just
and we should
that.
Not underestimate the technology that is around the planet to
right.
easily create a beam of light.
Right,
that,
right. But right. I do think when you said, you know, and I'm just I listen and then I'm picking up things and
okay.
and then
right on.
But
right on.
When you said you know, something about heal the world, and I'm thinking, well, unless you know where the home is within your center, unless you actually have gone through your entire process of knowing yourself, you really aren't much good to anybody else or the world in terms of healing the world. That's almost a falsehood to me. It's like,
I agree.
You know,
I agree.
And this is where I almost become fierce and like, you know, all,
nice.
You know, yeah, because I do feel that there's such a calling for self-responsibility about being, you know, it's paying attention to the home within that, and like the hawk where she's just like, whoa, you know, she's just like went for that fish, you know. And
absolutely.
And that
absolutely.
Is a fierceness. And I feel really strong about that because I don't, unless you've taken care of the work within yourself, I just don't even get that, like, oh, yeah, we'll heal the world. I don't, it doesn't resonate with me, it,
me
at
either.
All.
Me either.
Unless
right.
you're, yeah, unless you're
because it's
really,
a mental game.
Well,
if,
yeah.
If you're doing it through the mind is really, in my humble opinion,
Well, it just sounds like a nice story, you know, but it's not really.
Yeah. it's the birthing place of all the duality to begin with. So
right,
you can't,
right.
It can't be healed from that place.
And by the way, having been a labor and delivery nurse, I know somewhat something about, you know, birth and artificial and natural and, you know, manipulated and, you know, fouled up and, you know, and so. Yeah, I was listening going, you know, the whole initiation about you and the fractal of the internal home and mm-hmm. that fierceness of the golden hawk and then just, you know, the whole beam of light thing. I mean, whatever it is, you know, I'll be around to go, oh, well, that's interesting, you know,
I think what'll show up afterwards is the propaganda around that is going to be, you know, it'll be on all the major TVs, all, you know, in other words, where the media has been holding back.
Yeah.
Once this quote-unquote day of declaration comes, it's going to be what everybody, you know, they're going to think, here it is, you know, everything's supporting us. And they're going to, we won, the dark cabal is gone, the world is going to heal. And, I mean, I'm going to party with the best of them. Goalies don't need a reason to party. I will just party because I will. But, you know, like I'm saying, it's almost like, because, see, ultimately, the propaganda, from my perspective, from my the way I see it, is they've got to convince us they're good, because at some point they've got to get us off this planet. Because if you stay on the planet's crust is going to crack, and the star is going to implode, you know, it's going to crack on the outside and turn inside out. So if you can't handle the frequency from your literally from a central nervous system to handle that kind of alchemy,
mm-hmm.
then and the truth is, if you can't and it's not your destiny to handle that, then your soul is going to joyfully go, yes, I'm taking the first plane, the first ship to Pleiades or to Mars or Jupiter, Pluto, wherever you're going, wherever it's going to take us. And again, there's no shame in that. If that's where you're supposed to go, you know, follow your nose. It always knows. All of a sudden, I had toucan salmon in my head. Speaking of birds, the Fruit Loop bird. I don't know where the hell that came from. Of course, follow what makes you happy. This isn't about listening to anybody else. You should at least know what makes you happy, because I believe, to be honest, everybody will know what makes them happy. And there will be three timelines. There will be the timeline of the organic, the timeline of the technology, and the timeline of well, what I'm calling, I believe there's going to be people that will stay on the planet, but they will experience a death through this experience instead of the ascension through the. In other words, they're not going to get on any ships. They're not going to go anywhere. But they're going to, as an experience, die. And I would imagine, you know, maybe manifest again on some other third dimensional planet. So, you know, and you know, I get it. I'm speculating. I get it.
Right.
But I can tell you that, you know, the other people who speculate along these lines. And the Earth itself, I mean, it really is true. It's not that I speak with Mother Earth about these things. It really comes down to what I'm feeling is, you know, entrainment is a very interesting thing. And I want to speak a little bit about that because one of the things I also got this week, not being with Scott, was I literally feel like what's the electrical system of our body called?
The electrical system of our body? The central nervous system?
Exactly, thank you.
Okay.
My central nervous system has entrained with Scott's. And Scott being autistic has a different frequency. Now, of course, we all have different frequencies, but there is something very much in the autistic person that I resonate with from, I see how it feels like the energetic system is all wired to go within. It's like the autistic person doesn't really evaluate from the outside. They're wired to evaluate from the inside. They see things very differently. Their sensitivity is different. And one of the things I got after my experience in being in the forest with the hawk was that I felt like, wow, me and Scott, I'm entrained to him as well.
Mm-hmm.
And that is a different level. It's different for me than what I started out, so to speak. And because I put myself in a situation where I would entrain to that, it feels like it was the preparatory work for me energetically to be able to handle the ascension, which, you know, when the planet starts cracking, it's, you know, when we go to zero point, which I've posted videos about that, you know, when we go to zero point, the crust is going to become very liquidy and lose its stability. And the way George describes it is essentially the water from the Earth, which is partially the reason why it's melting and it's getting warmer, is going to be igniting the central core of the sun, which is already, you know, in a state of fusion, just like our other sun. It's the feminine sun. So it's already in the state of fusion where it's, you know, it's like our sun, you know, it's churning, it's moving. And people are like, how could water ignite it? I've seen videos where you can burn water. You know, mm-hmm. It's made out of oxygen. Oxygen burns. And you can burn water. In fact, I think there's cars that are developing water as a fuel.
Yeah.
You know, and it's, again, see, how can we burn water? Let's. If science tells you you can't, my guess is that it can definitely happen. You know, it's like, because I'm starting to just recognize that, you know, science calls this place a planet. And in my head, I was like, planets don't birth stuff. You know, I would planets die. You know, but they don't. Where everything about this birthing thing, I was like going, no, you know, I think it's really just been mislabeled. And why has it been mislabeled? Because if we knew this place as a star with a shell around it, well, that would be part of the knowingness that we were going to go through a birthing right now. You know, this is once again the propaganda of, you know, we're really the propaganda to keep us from knowing. Is just amazing. You know, it's the depth of how far they went to keep the truth from us is amazing. And yet there are certain things we can do, i.e. one of them being the biggest one, just putting myself in nature's space. I mean, for almost 10 years now, since my mom died in 2000, it's just a language, and it's there's a knowing that comes with this. And again, it's not a knowing like I don't have details in the sense of, you know, what this is going to look like, how it's going to manifest. But my sense of it all is, you know, we're really in for, you know, these times are very different. And if we look anywhere but our mainstream media, we will see it's like these people who do the 2-minute videos that show, you know, earthquakes and this one guy who does it that I've been watching, he shows buoys that are, you know, dropping 20 feet, 40 feet. He also watches airstreams and he watches solar flares. I mean, he's kind of watching, you know, it reminds me of like a holistic doctor. You know, he's not just zeroing in, you know, on the infection on the guy's thigh. You know, he's holistically looking at the planet, the sun, from you know, from a global as well as, of course, the sun's perspective. And, Jesus, what part of right now isn't shifting? I mean, we are very active shifting-wise. Everything is very active. And, of course, mainstream media doesn't carry or cover that information at all. And it makes me laugh because, like, I'll watch shows on the Science Channel, you know, about NASA's – they were revealing NASA's secret files. And I was like, all right, I'm going to get a joke. Let, you know, this was, like, on the Science Channel. All right, I'm going to watch this because, you know, I need a good laugh. And what they're saying is we don't know what these little orbs of light are that the astronauts saw, you know, in the Apollo, you know, missions and,
yeah,
you know, and, you know, we can't, and they're still definitely holding steadfast that there's no, you know, there is no light. We're still searching for life out there, you know, and, you know, all you have to do is listen to Andrew Bisaggio's talk where, you know, there's a jump room to Mars and, you know, 500,000 people from Earth have already been on Mars, you know, like, the elite know, you know, and I don't know. It just seems something to me like, you know, to be on the planet in November 2012 and still be going, is there life on Earth? Is there life, you know, in out there? To actually be questioning that with the potential of the answer could be no in your mind. I mean, I really go, wow, you know. You know, you're living with your head under the sand, and I get it, but, you know, I'm not. And, you know, so I can see the changes, and, you know, I don't need the government to tell me this. I don't need, and another thing I'm noticing, too, the channelers that, you know, I have been following, this seems to be coming, like, for me personally, I'm not doing group stuff anymore. I mean, I'm not a part. I don't resonate at all with Crimson Circle and Adamus's messages at all anymore. He is just literally, when I look at him, he looks reptilian. He is arrogant. He's calling everybody in that group stupid and dumb. And, you know, what I see is he keeps in NLP, in hypnosis. I watch what he'll do is he'll tell the group for a very long time, you're not doing this, you're not doing this, you're not doing that. And then he'll go, but you can. But you're not doing this, you're not doing this, but you can. And I'm going, yeah, I watch and I go, he's convincing them that they're not doing it. So therefore they're going, okay, I'm still not doing it because they believe he's reading them wherein actually he's influencing them.
Yeah, and it just seems like noise to me. You know.
Yes, well, you know, I'm trying. Well, I say this because for 10 years, these were groups. I was a part of Crimson Circle. I wanted very much to be a part of their experience and their, what is that, the Awakening Zone and all of that. And, you know, they turned me away and said, we don't want no golden hawk here.
Yeah.
And well, no, and of course
see
I'm grateful now because
is?
Well, and I say that, you know, I really do want to share that the grateful part is if I was on the Awakening Zone with my radio show, I'd be saying exactly what I'm saying now, except I'd be, you know, how challenging would that be to be sponsored by them and tell them, you know, listen, I think your stuff is really deceptive. So,
yeah.
Right. The divinity is I didn't get the gig, and I'm sovereign. Me and Janine will always be sovereign. Even when we have sponsors, the rule is we're sovereign or we don't want you. But there is, there's a lot of changing going on. There's a lot of shifting. The awareness, God, I can't emphasize enough. For me, the awareness comes at the tail end of the integration. I integrate something that, whether it's being abandoned, some of the traits that, trigger me. At the tail end of those things, the awareness continues to grow. I just recommend it's one of those, it's a no bullshit way to live life right now. And the amazing thing about integration too is right there built into the experience is courage. And the courage to accept yourself will give you the tenacity and the momentum to tell a galactic being, if he's going, hey, get on my ship, you'll go fuck yourself. I'm not going with you. I'm not. I know who I am, and I know where I want to be, and it ain't on your ship. Well, you don't have to get as punk as Goldie gets. but I do believe, I'm finding more and more people going, I need to speak my truth. Oh, my God. Yes. Yeah. And when you integrate pieces of yourself, that's what you find. It just shows up in you. It's not, you'll just find that something will trigger you and you'll be speaking your truth.
That's right. I have been finding that as well.
Mm.
Just where it's even surprising where it's like, there's even a no, that doesn't work for me it's effortless, or it has a gentleness to it, because there's no, my delivery isn't like I'm not in conflict with it, and I've just noticed that, and I do think that is the benefit of all these years of going within and really hanging in there and staying in the torque and holding the tension and not running away from it. And it just seems now that the internal process is so strong and centered that there's this ability to just respond. And it's just so funny that you said that, because I'm finding that as well. It's just, I kind of know what I know, and I know
exactly
what doesn't work for me, and it's not like that difficult. And I'm not, and you and I were talking about, the amazing, we'll be talking about something, and then you'll send me something, like, for instance, that astrologer from Hawaii. But
yes,
prior to that, the day before, you and I were talking about giving and receiving. And then,
okay.
And it's so active in my life where the giving and the receiving and, my mom
let's
just
talk
said,
about that, though. Let's go deep into that.
Well, we were talking about, this is the conversation that was, going on that day when you had the, and I had seen the picture on Facebook where that was that incredibly looking pine tree where you said, I'm going back. And I saw that, I saw, oh,
right.
She's going back. And then later, you tell me the story and that it was that you realized it was an initiation and that
right.
And that the trucks moved and you didn't have, you could have just turned around and went, oh, well, I guess it's not a good day for that.
Exactly.
But you really asked and you did your part, so to speak, because that's important. You did your part. You weren't passive. They moved this giant orange truck for you. And so you really you had the determination, but in this graceful way. It's not like, move your truck,
Right,
right.
Right?
So there was this grace in it. And then, You know, and I have found that, and then we got on this conversation about, you know, the giving is, but the receiving is so important.
Okay. Wait, can I just interrupt for one sec?
Yeah, yeah.
Scott just brought me 2 pieces of pizza.
Really? Oh, man, that sounds delicious.
Thank you, baby. It's just the receiving of it all.
That sounds delicious. I mean, no, it's he like, doesn't. There it is. There
exactly.
it is.
Okay, no, as I eat, you keep
yeah,
your
yeah.
beautiful
so, so we were talking about, you know, the giving and the receiving and, you know, how, and I think that receiving is underrated, in fact, by me even thinking giving is such a, you know, a great thing and a kind thing and a giving thing, and yet receiving is equally as important, as if, even if you want to equate it to how important, you know, Golden Hawk and I talk about the light and the dark are, you know, you can't have one without the other, and one isn't better than the other. You know, what the giving and the receiving, and I find that, you know, a real like sort of giveaway about the state of the heart is that your ability to receive, you know, because it's almost a much more even vulnerable place, you know, how well
absolutely
you receive.
Absolutely.
And so
yes.
I find that's a you know, for, and I'm talking about myself because giving has been a thing, a big thing for me all my life, you know, giver, and you know, and it was when I learned, oh, you know, I'm ready to receive. I really am looking for help. Help, help. And
yeah.
And,
yeah.
Know, and I allowed it in. And I allowed it in. And you know, just then Golden Hawk sends me this astrology report from this very, he was wonderful. He drank so much Brazilian coffee. He was fantastic.
He was wired.
I mean, I sent it to my friend, and I said, enjoy this guy. Because he was funny and animated. And, you
yes.
know, and I loved it. But he also talked about the giving and the receiving right now. And there was the Scorpio and the Taurus, and there was this playoff of each other, and they were quite the opposite. And yeah, it was really interesting. And, you know, and just 2 days ago, I mean, I'm an author, I'm a writer, I'm a therapist, I'm a lot of things, but out of nowhere, my mother says to me, I really want to help you. She goes, you work so hard. And she meant financially. And I'm like, okay, great. And it was such a beautiful offering, but I was so excited and in instant receiving. And, you know, it took me, it just caught me as if all great things are unexpected. They just come, out of these places that, you know, I think like Golden Hawk said so well before, when you're integrating and integrating and integrating and you're coming to like where there's so much integration that's gone on, you literally start to witness these things in so much more of a, they're just there. You know, you can't help it anymore. It's like they're so apparent, you know,
yes.
And I think it's because of the level of integration is so strong and so, you know, almost like what's his name's chart, David Hawkins, the quality of consciousness is strong that you really do see the constant, you know, back and forth, the coming, the knowing, the words that are out of your mouth or you're hearing, you know, out of a friend's mouth or on the radio or, I mean, it just, it's all the time. And it's, it doesn't come easy. I will say that. And you know, and that's fine with me. I mean, that's kind of,
I love
like,
a challenge.
Yeah,
why don't
we
love challenges anymore,
yeah.
people? Why are
right,
we what, so afraid of to be challenged?
Right.
I'm telling you,
I
it's
think
a beautiful experience.
It's conditioning because really the supposed pain that you were talking about before, or the angst, or the uncomfortableness. See, we've learned to run away from that, but the truth is that's our ticket in and through. And
say that
right.
That is our ticket through, in and through, people. The
in
pain
and through.
Is the ticket. If you don't own the pain, It's a line of bullshit.
You know.
It's your
brain.
Yeah, you will be deceived as long as you're not accepting your own pain.
No, it is truly like the liberating moment over and over again when you recognize that these sensations, because they are sensations, like the feelings of discomfort, the feelings of, say, like a heartbrokenness, or, you know, I can sense something, like I'll be like, oh, what is that feeling? I feel slightly heartbroken. I know I'm about to come onto something very significant for myself, you know, just like a knowing. And it's amazing to me where you, like, my body and my feelings are like a map, you know, they're letting you know. And and all these years we've been told to run away from that stuff, and it's like it's the opposite. And now that's, you know, that's what I've been talking about now for quite a while with, you know, people that I work with, people that, you know, we share conversations with, and myself, where you recognize, oh, what is that, and you're curious, and you stay with it, you know. And it and you know, I do think that David Hawkins is clearly onto something with his chart. When, in fact, yeah, is that the heart and courage taking you over that line into the field of truth? I definitely think so. But it's
that's when
the consciousness levels really shift, and you go, you're kind of going, oh my God, things are amazing. You know,
things are amazing.
It's only when you go into those places that have been uncomfortable, which of course, if Golden Hawk wants to talk about it, we can talk about the fact that at the end of a very difficult movie, but I thought a very excellent movie, but difficult, called Dangerous Methods, the story of Carl Jung, that they said that for quite a long time, Carl Jung was in a prolonged nervous breakdown. And
that's,
I was,
it,
like, man, I can relate to that. Because if you've got the stamina and you've got the ability to go inward and deeply inward, which is something, you know, I've enjoyed doing, even though it got to get there was like I went kicking and screaming, but I think that's when you come across, you know, all the treasures that have been held, that you know, all where the, you know, Golden Hawk wouldn't let me say that I didn't have power for 11 days because she knows I never lost my power. But
exactly.
It's like, but really, I could admire Carl Jung, and I could relate to Carl Jung, where he really did have the stamina to go deep, deep, deep into the subconscious. And that appeared to be a prolonged nervous breakdown, but I don't think it was. I think it was him going very, very deep. And I can relate to that. You know, where it seemed to be for years. And so, you know, and then he came out of it, so to speak, and he really didn't, he just kind of knew, and he was at peace, and he was this incredibly wise, you know, older man that had really traveled into the darkness of himself. And, you know, and what I'd like to...
Hey, it's Carl Jung. What do you think he found...
What?
It's the only place where you can find the unified field. That he's the one who coined that phrase, if I'm correct.
Well, yeah, he coined
field.
Unified
consciousness.
Unified field, mass consciousness, collective consciousness.
Collective consciousness,
right. And synchronicity, because he really saw
that. And synchronicity,
that he said that everything that occurred that seemed like a coincidence was not a coincidence, but it was something that happened with purpose. So
there it is.
Always,
there
right.
it is.
So, but what, you know, but what I love is when you were mentioning the whole light thing, which is fine, right? But I always
the beam of light thing?
Yeah, or just even the whole light thing, because, you know, the void gets ignored, which is really, you know, it's just so key.
That's true. Even by me.
No.
Well, meaning I don't talk about it enough.
Well,
good.
No,
I'm glad
because
you
that is, because it, you know, it is the unexplainable in many ways. But so what?
Right.
You know, I mean, you know,
absolutely.
I'm drawn
absolutely.
To the unexplainable, but and I'm drawn to the language that's beyond. You know, like I was saying to Golden Hawk that hawk was her in a language beyond, you know, what, you know, just even having conversation. That was truly
exactly
a language. And so, you know, I saw someone post that in the chat room before, something about nature has a, images has a language or something, but I completely agree.
The original language of light, which animals speak, exactly.
Yeah, and I think that, you know, if you're ever in question about what can I believe, I would say, well, you know, you can really, if you've got a keen eye, you can watch that and believe that, I think, because it's occurring on an organic way, you know,
right.
So that's where I'm at right now.
Yes, I was very happy that Janine, that, I mean, this whole idea of the prolonged nervous breakdown.
Yeah.
You know, boy, how many of us can put our hands up for that one? I mean, where, you know, and I'm not complaining, because I'll be honest with you, I have always said I want to see results.
Yeah.
I have seen results because I find it interesting. I did play with the technology of Holosync, which is when I had my spaceship interaction, you know, when I was manipulated through a technology of frequencies. And, you know, as much as it was technology that did that, it gave me a discipline that is so interesting, because if you had told me, you're going to have to discipline yourself in being organic. You know, there was a time in my life where I would have went, no, you know, like the whole word discipline would just turn me off. You know, I was, you know, I'm an indigo.
Yeah.
Don't give me a rule telling me that's how I got to get there. But what I find fascinating is just looking back on my own life, or the last 17 years that I've been awakened, holy shit, it's all been about discipline. I have discipline. I just haven't disciplined myself the way, quote unquote, the gurus and the teachers told me to. I disciplined myself in what felt right to me.
Right.
You know, and, you know, that has been the two disciplines, you know, most that show up in my mind's eye right now is the Holosync and spending time in nature. I mean, that's just been my disciplines. And now I can tell you, though, the discipline is immediately when I don't feel good, the first thing out of my mouth is, okay, I need to go to the woods. I mean, it's like I don't even say, last week, I think it was Tuesday of last week, I woke up and I just didn't feel right. My stomach didn't feel right. My emotions were, I could feel just icky. I mean, that's the best way to describe me was I was icky, and I don't do sticky or icky very well. I don't like gooey in anywhere in my field. And, you know, I went up to Scott and go, I said to him, you know, babe, I'm going to go home. And he had the day off. And I was like, no, at first I go, I don't feel good. And he's like, what's the matter? And I'm like, I don't know. Well, and what's interesting is actually when I said this to Scott, it was about 11 o'clock. We had both been up for about 3 hours. And I, you know, when I'm feeling that way, you know, he'll play music that'll bother me, or, you know, he'll do something that'll bother. Things he was doing was bothering me. But I really knew from the moment I woke up, I didn't feel good, and life was bothering me. Life was bothering me. It wasn't quote unquote Scott, because I can clearly see how my first knee jerk reaction when I don't feel good is I gotta go. I gotta go to the woods. But I said to him, I go, this is something deeper. I don't know what it is, so I'm not coming back today. You know, I'm gonna go to the woods, and then I need to be at my house where I can have some space. Because whatever this is, you know, it, in honesty, it has nothing to do with you, so I'm out of here. I got to go, you know, I got to go take care of me. And, you know, I called Janine that day, and it was like, I realized after I said it, it was like, I literally know myself as I would start fights with Scott when I used to want to go home.
Right.
Because I'm clear that Scott would prefer me to be around, which is, you know, wonderful. He's my boyfriend. You know, it's a good space to be in. And so I just used to look at it like I didn't have the power to say I want to go, So I would start fights, literally. So he'd get pissed off at me, and then I'd go, okay, well, now I'm going because I don't need to be here. But the truth is I wanted to go in the first place, and to actually do it this time without starting the fight, you know, it might not sound like much, but it was monumental for me because in my awareness I went, boy, that's total responsibility. It was the first reaction that came through to me. You know, in other words, it's the change I'm looking for based on the work that I'm doing. And I didn't think about it. It's just I'm now integrated enough that I don't look for Scott to make me feel better at all. I mean, that is just not on the radar for me. What's going to make me feel better is the things that I know. The forest, solitude time, you know, the whirlpool. Those are going to make me feel better. I'm going to come back home, and then I'm going to, you know, go, hey, babe, I feel great. You know, what's going on with you? You know, and as much as it sounds crazy, these are what makes, this is kind of like, in my humble opinion, this is the fifth dimension here now. Without the birthing of, you know, this is truly the radiance and the essence of what that dimension will be like. And, you know, I mean, I'm personally, I'm tickled because it's just nice to see progress.
Yeah, you know, well, that noticing that you had about yourself, that's what I'm talking about, that, you know, just you, as recent as you, I just notice there's an ease about making decisions about what works but doesn't work.
A great way to say it, exactly.
Yeah, and it's, you know, and you do. You notice it, go, boy, and if you were, you know, in the past, that I handled that differently.
Definitely.
And so I'm right there with that because I definitely have noticed that about myself.
Nice.
And, yeah.
Well, and that's the changes that the self-work does. It's how we relate to the world is different.
Yeah.
It's the relating. And you know, there was, I guess, somebody was in the chat room, you know, earlier, Light, saying, you know, none of her family was awake and, you know, they're always trying to control her. How do you not judge that? I had a controlling father. I totally get that. But the way I worked with my controlling father was I worked on myself. But what was interesting, because initially the way I worked on my controlling father, which was really prevalent to me right after my mom died. I mean, like 3 weeks after my mom died, my father was like, you know, you need to find a job now. You need to be working. Mm-hmm. And I'm telling you, when my mother died, I don't care that I was 35 years old. I have been in many drug situations and terrible, you know, in terrible neighborhoods. I have been in very dark situations. But when my father told me, go get a job after my mom died, I mean, I was literally like, are you kidding me? I mean, I can't even breathe at this point. I was like, it just became clear to me, I have to leave home. And that was really the first time I ever left home, you know, with the literally the vision of, and there's no going back. I have to make it work out here. You know, and granted, you know, I did, and then I did 3 years of going bankrupt, and the credit cards helped me do it. Hey, bravo, thank you to the credit cards. I appreciate you, Visa and MasterCard. and then I went bankrupt because I had no intention of paying it back because I don't give a shit that my credit's bad because I'm not a part of a matrix. I needed that money for those 3 years so I could continue my healing without my father. And then when 5 years when I was out of the house and it became, you know, the money ran out, it was like, okay, home or homeless. And it's like, okay, it's time to go home. And now after being home for 8 years, which is where I'm at now, I'm at a place where me and my father are like, not only is he generous and supportive and not controlling, we have organically gone through. My father used to always say to me, if you don't need me, I'll help you more.
Oh,
and I found
great.
Out, it's brilliant. And here's what I want to tell people about controlling parents. Control is not necessarily, I've never been a wealthy person, hence I needed credit cards, you know, to support myself when I lived out. But this was about how my energy was running. So the control that was going on with my father was simply because energetically I was still feeding on the outside world.
Hmm.
When the control stopped is when my wires started turning in. And I met Scott 5 years ago. And hands down, my soul so showed me an attraction to be with Scott. I mean, it was like a compulsion. I just, when we used to break up for those couple of years when he was still dealing with his ex, I was devastated that we were not together. I just had to be with Scott. And to this day now I know why, because now that I have entrained into that, the mechanics of serving of self, and I know all the light workers say serving of self are the negative ones. Service to others are the ones that are the good guys. Oh, bullshit to that. You serve yourself, and that will serve others. If indeed when you're serving yourself, you're sovereign.
Mm-hmm.
You're sovereign. That's because now that I'm serving to myself, my father supports me because that's part of it's generated in my field. You know, I'm doing the work. I'm integrating the shadow side, as long as I'm doing it, it's easier for everybody else. And anybody else doing it, it's easier for everybody else too. This is what's important. Now, you know, it's really completely unplugging from the matrix and completely plugging into the timeline that feels like it's not here yet, but in truth, it is actually here. It is here. It's here today. And me and you know it because we live it.
Yeah. Yeah, no, and you know, like you, I think you were saying this, that when you look at the dynamics or the relationships that are going on, like the controlling person outside of yourself, that is definitely an indication of something you obviously have pulled in order to get to understand something about yourself. And, you know,
exactly.
So... Right, and so, you know,
self-reflection. That's
and
you.
What that takes, and what ends up happening is that breaks down all the defenses of, oh no, that has nothing to do with me. That's them, and it's like, you know, and it's like, no.
Welcome to the matrix. That's fine if you want to think that, but then there's no getting out of the matrix.
Right,
the only
way
to get out of the matrix is to own it.
And really see it as, like, you know, an interesting reflection of what is it about myself that I need to...
Exactly, not as a judgment. Exactly.
Right. And, you know, and like your father and your relationship, and, you know, I see that too, where you look at all the relationships and how they used to be and how they are, and it's because of doing the work, the relationships outside of you are changing, and it's, you know,
absolutely.
And, yeah.
Absolutely.
So, you know, and it's fun. I mean, I
it
know
is.
It's fun.
It is. No, I mean, dare we say the pain is actually fun.
The learning is amazing. It really is.
Amazing. I agree.
Well, first of all,
I love doing everything that goes against the grain of mass consciousness. I love that. I mean, I don't know why more people don't have joy in that. I mean, I love it. You know, if they're all telling us to get, you know, rich and famous, okay, then I'm going to stay anonymous and, you know, and quiet. Okay, you know, that feels right to me. I just, you know, because I love showing mass. That's part of the reason why I got also very excited about, you know, not being a part of Crimson Circle right now is, you know, we have our own audience. We have our own way of being around here. You know, this isn't. You know,
we're jazz musicians.
We're jazz musicians. That's what Janine always says.
We play what we want to play.
We play as long
How
as we want to
play.
We're the kind of We have concerts that go for 6-8 hours.
Yes, and like half hour drum solos and.
Exactly. And here's, I'll tell you one thing that is, here's a definite indicator if you're, what I've noticed, if you're doing the integration work, you will be laughing a lot.
Yeah.
Oh my God. I have been laughing all weekend long, unbelievable. I mean, when I was at Allie and Aaron's house on Saturday night, oh, my God, did we laugh. I mean, Aaron had a friend over, which, by the way, guess what they call Aaron? I just cracked up when I heard it.
What?
Aaron the Heron.
Oh, wow.
I know. I was
That's
like,
so fantastic. One of my favorite birds.
Yeah, exactly. Aaron the Heron.
Nice.
I said that hot. Yeah, and Aaron's friend Lily was at the house, which, and I'll tell the story about. I brought Allie the book. Actually, it's going to probably be Aaron that reads it first. I brought Allie the book, The Yawning Rabbit River Chronicle, and as soon as I drove up into Allie's driveway, a little gray bunny came out of the bushes, which, you know, through our talks and, you know, through knowing Janine, of course, Shaun the Rabbit is what inspired the story, you know, in Ireland, with when her and David were in Ireland. And, you know, it's a significant, Shaun the Rabbit is a significant part of the book. And actually, he's my favorite character.
Well, he's like the heart of the book that, you know, obviously the river's named after him. And he is the heart of the book and seems to be the spirit that's like taking this book where the book needs to go. And when I was taking David to the airport just last Sunday, a week ago, right across the driveway as I was pulling out, I had to put the brakes on, ran a rabbit across the driveway. And I hadn't seen a rabbit here for, you know, I don't know, 6 weeks. And I was like, oh, Shaun's here, you know. And
I thought when I pulled into the
right, and then you see the little rabbit. And, it, you know, it's just an indication of, like, you know, it's really happening.
The mystical Mother Earth. Exactly.
Yep.
Exactly. Well,
right.
And then so first the rabbit pulls up. First the rabbit shows up. Then when I get inside, Erin has a friend over, and her name is Lily, which is Janine's main character in the magic gown. And I, you know, I'm literally going, you know, as all the, you know, they're introducing, hi, this is Lily. I'm like, oh, my God. You know,
Lily,
like,
and the rabbit are here.
Lily and the rabbit. And I have literally in my hand a mailbox, a box that Janine mailed to me with the magic gown and the Yawning River rabbit in the box. And I'm going, you know, you guys don't understand the synchronicities happening right now. And, you know, and the whole family, the father's kind of looking at me going, they all know I'm, you know, they know I'm kind of kooky shaman stuff. And they're like, no, but Goldie, will you tell us? And I was like, and then I told them, and they were like, oh, wow, that's pretty cool. And I was like, it's very cool. See, these are the valuable moments, because if you're on the organic timeline, I almost laugh because I remember George saying in an interview a couple of years ago, going, you know, I'm sorry if it pisses you off that you put a lot of investment in your home, you know, and your jobs, but the earth is changing, and it's not about that, you know, and because it reminds me of you. I'm not saying, you know, don't put investment in yourself and your career, but the time we're living in right now is really not about the material that, you know. Time's up for that. Now it's about consciousness. Mm. And consciousness is going to show up, in my humble opinion, very, very differently than the material world showed up. And again, if 0 point means, you know, the crust of the earth is going to spin, collapse, and then ignite the inner core of it, there's not even going to be material anymore, at least not from the third dimensional point of view. So, you know, focusing on how much we weigh, focusing on, you know, building that dream house, you know, and so, you know, I look and go, okay, you know, it could be a pipe dream, could be rabbit, could be.
Right, read part two about the Millers.
Well, exactly, which I mean, the librarians really explained that one very well.
They did, right? They got it.
Yes, they got it. So,
you know, Goldie, I just wanted to say thank you to Susan, too, because Susan...
please, of course.
She got the Yawning Rabbit River. I think she bought two of them, and she
and then bought three more.
Right, and she meant
kids,
to just open the box and browse through it, and next thing you know, she's hours into it. And, you know, I she sent me that email, and I just appreciate it so much when I hear these stories.
Yeah, Susan, just so you know, me and Janine share all your emails, so you can address it to both of us or not, but we always read them all.
And then David even wrote, I shared it with David because it was so much about.
Oh, nice.
And
nice.
Then he wrote her, which was great.
Oh, very nice.
I know.
Hot. Okay, right on.
It was so wonderful. It was so wonderful.
Well, Susan has been a part of the Mystical Mother Earth Show in my world, shucks, for like 4 years.
That's so great.
Deeply listening to my show. Maybe it was 3 years. It's been a while. But she really, you know, just showed up as a, you know, she goes, the things you're speaking about are changing my life. And,
yeah.
You know, that touched me deeply. It's like, wow, right on. She's
absolutely.
Another one I haven't met yet. I do plan on meeting people from my circle, you know, organically as it comes up. And, you know, it took me 2 years to meet Jaybird.
That's right.
But I will not wait another 2 years. I hold my finger up in the air. I will not wait. No, but right on. No, we have, you know, there's the book, you, me, the show, are the people, all of us that were living through this. You know, there's one of the things I'm getting so clearly is we really do each have a gift. And when we go within, and I'll be honest with you, if you're in our age group, anywhere between like 35, 40 and 60, I promise you, you know your gift. You might be, you know, withholding the gift. You might not be, you know, totally expressing it. But boy, once you're really in the gift, that almost seems like to be the momentum of, you know, why you would do the integration work. Because the integration work just keeps, it just keeps nurturing the gift into deeper and deeper levels of, you know, for lack of a better word, astonishing proportion.
Yeah.
I am astonished at the level of awareness that I'm at today. I've always wanted to be here. And it's funny because I always thought I was here, but I can tell you there's a difference between thinking you are and then when you actually are, it's like, oh, this is so, so different than, quote, unquote, I thought it was good. Thinking, the mind doesn't hold a candle to the physical awareness that's capable within our cellular structure when we integrate our shadow side. It just doesn't hold a candle. It's the difference between a cartoon, you know, and a vast landscape that you. It's the difference between looking at a cartoon and being in the middle of the Netherlands, you know, or being in the middle of one of David's pictures. You know, it's like it's you can't compare the two, and you don't know the difference until you actually do the integration. But once you do the integration, you realize, okay, the mind is for kids. You know, that's kids' play. That's in all honesty, it really is just a game of bullshit. It's who can talk the best talk and color the greatest pictures. And, you know, it's the integration, you start really, you look for time, you look for your solitude, you look for your connection with Mother Earth, you resonate with the people who, all of my friends all are managing their pain bodies. Nobody in my circle, my inner circle, does not speak about their pain body. And I've got friends who are passing kidney stones twice a month. I mean, I got some really, you know, I'm in the trenches with the people who truly are owning what they've created and are bringing it in. And that's, as long as we're doing that, I mean, I personally find us to be the most magical cats, you know, out there on the hot tin roof. It is this is what we're here for, at least our group. This is what I'm here for. And, you know, I mean, alone, I'll do it alone, but damn, it's much more fun having you guys around to do it with. It really is. And it's not, there's no doing it with, there's just a sharing once it gets done.
Right.
Like, I was over Punky's house today, and I was really happy because I got that I could share with her the depth of my new awareness, because when she passes a stone or when she has a breakthrough, she understands that awareness. She understands the breakthrough.
Mm.
Where if you're not having the breakthroughs right now, the last thing you want is somebody coming over telling you how great it is, because if life sucks
absolutely.
And it's not,
yeah.
you know what I mean? You don't want it. And I'm very clear on the people in their mind, because they're running around busy trying to find solutions. And the one thing that doesn't change is this level of, like, misery that they're in. It doesn't change because denial, distraction, keeping yourself busy, this is not what does it. That doesn't make it go away. And at this point, you know, maybe it makes it go away for, like, a minute or two. You know, the minute you turn around, though, it's right back there where it's obvious to me that, you know, the energy being expelled, trying to make what they want to happen by their own, you know, whether they're guilting people, whether they're manipulating or mentally going, this is right for you. It's like, oh, yeah, wait, say that 100 times. Maybe they'll believe you. The convincing, of trying to convince people to do it the way you want it to do, it's like, God, we've got to let that go. That energy is literally your awareness being misused. It's a misuse of energy. Speak on that, babe, because you're good with that.
No, I was just thinking that it's like being in a loop, though, because, like, you know, and
okay.
How do you get out of that loop? Because it does, you know, for me, when someone's, they're not really pushing through, living through it, they're speaking of it, but they're not really going past that place of, it is the mental, and it's the, you should, and I, you know, and to me, that's literally when you can see someone caught in a loop of, and never getting out of that loop, you know, which I mean, I'm sure from my own experience, there were times, you know, quite a long time where, you know, you feel like you're in a loop, or you look back and you see that you were avoiding handling the situation or yourself, and you can stay in a loop for a long
time. I find it, because I didn't notice it as avoiding. What I noticed it as, because it seems to be in relationships that I see this. I see the pattern I was in where, because I remember when I was trying to convince Scott to choose me over his ex-girlfriend. And he so blatantly said to me, he goes, no, I choose her. She makes more money. And
I remember that story.
But who do you love? He goes, I love you, but she makes more money, and I'd just rather have money right now. You know, again, see, that's so autistic because, see, there it is, the truth. I mean, that fucking killed me. I was like, because I go home and I remember calling my ex, Greg, why isn't the magic in my life? I want the magic. Why didn't he choose love? Why didn't he choose love? And, you know, he did. And it came back to me at a time where I chose self-love. Because in the 2 years that he was with his girlfriend, I didn't want anybody else but him. So I was by myself learning to love myself.
Yeah.
So it became a real gift. It really did.
See? You're right. I mean, and that's a tough one.
Right on.
See?
There it is.
That's a tough one.
Well, are you kidding me? I remember talking to friends. You know, I literally went off the map for like 3 months. My father would walk in, are you okay? No, I'm not. Leave me alone. Get out. I'm not okay. And I really do understand the yearning to want to be with them. It was a prolonged nervous. That's exactly what, you know. And it was so funny because I said to myself, I knew at some point he would break up with her because it was clear to me it was a bad, you know. He basically broke up with her after his father died. She basically had some things to say. And then it was like, it was no longer about the money. It was like, don't you tell me how to be with my father. Because now he had some healing to do. And she was clearly not the one to do the healing with. I was. And I remember saying to myself, he's going to call you back. And I, not knowing today what I, you know, I didn't know then what I know today. Because I was like, I'm not taking his call. As soon as I saw his name, hi, babe, how you doing? I was a wimp. But, of course, because he was like, you know, you want to come over. And when I knew, once I knew she was finally gone, You know, and it was funny because then he went into his dark space, and then we had our own thing to deal with.
Yeah, right.
He went very, very dark after his father died. Very dark. And I actually left him for a while because it just became too dark and too dangerous for me to be here. And then it was me leaving that helped him go, okay, I don't want to be there anymore. You know, and essentially it had alcohol related. And so he just stopped drinking. And as long as he had stopped drinking 3 months when I came back, and I went, cool. I go, you're going to continue to not drink? He goes, yeah. And I went, then I'm in. You know? Sounds so simple, but it's like, you know.
But it wasn't. It was, you know.
It wasn't.
Yeah.
Right. And yet it was, meaning the
answers
were simple.
And
it's living
where you are today. I mean, it's amazing.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right?
Well, and I say, I love him with all my heart, but this is not the fairy tale romance. What I love is that when phase two starts, when act two starts, it will not surprise me if Scott wants to go into the technological, world of the galactics. Because he loves technology. And then I'm at the point, I will say, I love you, babe. I'm not going there with you. That's not my journey. I mean, I hope he's going to go organic. I don't see it.
But Goldie, they have new iPhones.
Listen, as I told Janine earlier in the week, I mean, listen, he built a weather station in his backyard. We are not talking, this man just doesn't build with your average, transistor radios. He's brilliant. And so he wants to exercise that brilliance. And that's his soul's right, and it's a beautiful thing. And even though we're on different timelines, if he was not perfect for me for the last 5 years of my life,
right.
I can't emphasize enough how perfect he is for me. Because since I'm entrained to his energy, I'm now prepared for my journey.
Mm.
Boy, does it get better than that?
No.
No, it really doesn't. It's just exquisite.
It's so funny. the whole time the owls have been going. I mean, it's so unusual for the whole show to have the owls keep going. It's just so noticeable on my part.
Well just and so you know what the alien abductees say about owls, don't you?
No.
They're the aliens.
Ah, really?
Yeah, well, in dream state, they say they come as aliens.
Oh. But so. I think these are the real deal out here.
Okay. Hey, you never know.
How's that pizza?
I'll take either. The pizza was delicious. Thank you. It was delicious. I appreciate you chatting your beautiful chat so I could. Could you hear me eating? I was trying to.
No.
Be.
No.
Yeah, I'm usually. Yeah, ask anybody. Ask Dennis. You should. I usually talk on the phone and eat chips. I'm
no,
so raw.
But,
I am.
Raw is good.
Well,
real.
It's who I am. So.
Yeah.
And, an interesting thing happened. I'll say quickly because I know the show is coming to a close. When I was at Punky's house today, I found myself in a very similar position that I was with another friend recently, where she said something about her beliefs, and I was like, I immediately felt like this. It was a trigger. It was a trigger, and I was like, oh my God, I totally don't believe that. I was like, I believe, I don't remember what it was, but I just was like, I don't believe that. That's not my truth.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember having this exact same reaction with another friend. And Punky went, oh, okay. And it totally hit me, and I wanted to share on the show. When we're having conversations with people and they get triggered because we disagree with them, the larger the trigger, the less they believe what they're saying. That's why they're triggered that you don't believe with them.
Mm-hmm.
And how do I know this? Firsthand experience. I remember it used to drive me crazy when people didn't agree with my choices. And because I didn't believe my choices, and I needed everybody else to believe them so I could believe. Where you'll find that when you're in alignment with the organic choices, when people don't believe you, you're really like, hey, that's cool. I mean, I'm going
absolutely.
To the woods.
It's like, it's no big deal. It's like a,
It's not going to stop you from your beliefs at all. And the best part is, it's not going to trigger you into, you know, we ended up getting into a fight, and she was like, stop shoving your truth down my throat. And I went, you know, there's no shoving going on here. You're responding, you know, to my saying, I don't agree with you. She was the one flipping, you know.
Yeah.
So it was very interesting. I noticed that today. I was like, huh. Punky just went, okay. And it's like, well, you know, you live in the woods. Why doesn't that surprise me?
No, that's absolutely true. Like the observations that I've been making, just where things, decisions just seem easier, or responses just are coming where, you know, and I'm just noticing, just like that, where, you know, she, okay, with ease. It's like, okay, well, this is what I'm going to do, or okay, this is what works for me. And it's like, this used to be harder. So
Exactly. So I'm glad I kind of snuck that in. I wanted to share that because I know a lot of people, you know, are having conversations with people, and I think that's part of the awareness, even from self. You know, if you get very upset if people aren't agreeing with you, you know, I would look at yourself and say, well, why does it upset you so much that somebody else doesn't agree? And I can almost promise you, if you look deep enough, it's because you're really not quite sure in what you believe.
Yeah.
And you're looking for the confirmation.
Or you're defending a false self system that's about ready to collapse.
Or that too. Exactly.
Let it go.
Fly. Oh, I got to tell you, this is from Simon. Me and Simon have a new thing. From now on, when we say, instead of saying bye-bye, we say fly.
Very nice.
So everybody, fly tonight. Yeah, I love it.
Are we
in
fly time?
It's fly time, Punky. Can you tell everybody where they can find you?
Sure. Yes, I have a couple websites, but one is jlkimmel.com, and my new book is The Yawning Rabbit River Chronicle, so anyone who wants to have fun and read it, that would be great. Thank you. Thanks, Goldie.
My pleasure, babe. I love you.
Thanks.
Tomorrow afternoon, 3 p.m., Richard Salva, anotherrealityshow.com to grab the archives. Really appreciate everybody tuning in. I can't even tell you. I love that our family is growing because we are integrating, and it's obvious because we're growing.
Yeah.
And, you know, much gratitude for that because, hey, let's go on to Act Two. Let's see what Act Two is going to bring.
All right.
In the meantime, fly, everyone.
Night. Bye-bye.
Fly. Talk to everybody soon. Bye.
Love you all. Gotta go.
Bye.
I'm so glad we had
time together.
To have a laugh or sing a song. Seems we just get started, and before you know it.